Good morning and welcome to this online celebration of the Holy Communion. As always, whoever you are and wherever you come from, we welcome you and are delighted that you are joining us.
Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord,
have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace.
Almighty God,
our Heavenly Father, We have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Collect of the Day, the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Proverbs, Chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favour is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or cross the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their case, and despoils of life those who despoil them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is number 125, which we say by alternate division of verses. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion,
which cannot be moved, but stands fast forever.
As the hills stand about Jerusalem,
so the Lord stands round about his people, from this time forth for evermore.
The sceptre of wickedness shall not hold sway over the land allotted to the righteous.
Lest the righteous turn their hands to evil.
Do good, O Lord, to those who are good.
and to those who are true to heart.
Those who turn aside to crooked ways, the Lord shall take away with the evildoers.
But let there be peace upon Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Apostle is from the letter of St. James, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favouritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one in poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and became judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbour as yourself, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act of those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God.
The gradual hymn, "Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love."
Fill us with your love, show us.
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. They took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his eyes were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, and, saying, "He has done everything well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from today's Gospel reading. St. Mark chapter 7, verse 28. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Today, our challenging Gospel reading gives us pause and stirs up questions like, where is the good news? What is the good news? For whom is the good news? Jesus is on the move. He has crossed the border to the region of Tyre into Gentile country. In the passages before our reading, Jesus declared the purity laws of the Pharisees null and void. He calls them to look past the words of the law and tells them that nothing they eat can defile. In other words, Jesus is declaring all food clean and says that it is what comes out of a person that defiles. Continuing, he explains that it is from our hearts that cruelty and meanness, bias and anger, indifference and arrogance come. So why do such hurtful words come from his mouth when the Syrophoenician woman approaches, begging him to heal her daughter? We believe and profess that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. And this week we encounter Jesus in his full humanity. Why else would he appear to be so rude and dismissive? Why would he respond to the gentle woman's plea with, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs"? Our text makes it clear that Jesus wants to be left alone. Could it be that his spiritual well is dry and he wants, or indeed needs, to replenish before continuing with his mission? After all, he postponed his retreat with his disciples to show compassion to the crowds, to feed the multitudes, to heal the sick, and to free those possessed by demons. He has confronted the Pharisees and mentored his disciples. Perhaps Jesus is spiritually, physically, and emotionally depleted. Maybe he's just plain exhausted and looking forward to a break. But that was not to be. Like the crowds that followed him around, the Syrophoenician woman found him. And this unnamed woman who comes to Jesus is obviously exhausted herself. Her daughter is demon-possessed, and we have learned from other gospel passages that the possessed lash out. They experience convulsions and tend to harm themselves as well as others. No one would want to invite them for dinner. This mother is exhausted and wants her child to be well. She needs a break. It is surprising that instead of showing compassion for this woman, Jesus speaks down to her. For centuries, scholars have tried to explain away Jesus' words to this woman. Some believe that Jesus was testing the woman's faith, while others wonder if Jesus was using the biases and entitlements of his day to teach the crowd a lesson. Still others propose that Jesus did not yet fully understand the scope of his mission. But truthfully, the people of that day would not have found Jesus' response to be out of the ordinary. Women were forbidden from approaching male strangers and speaking to them. Gentile women were especially to be ignored because they were perceived to be of an unclean race. There was probably no rabbi alive who would have even spoken to this woman, yet Jesus did, even in a seemingly demeaning way. When Jesus responds with, "Let the children be fed first," the woman does not question Jesus. As one commentator suggests, she accepts the analogy and its implications, only pointing out that when the children are fed, the dogs also get some small benefit, incidentally. Why did St. Mark keep this story in his gospel account, especially since it portrays Jesus as one without compassion? One scholar, Brian K. Blount, believes Mark kept the story because the Syrophoenician woman was a transformer, just like Jesus was. She does not break down, rather, she does what Jesus is known for doing with all who question him. This woman accepts Jesus' response, stands up to the meaning of his response, and turns it upside down. And Jesus accepts instructions from this gendered outsider who challenges him. He allows her to school him in his own good news. She succeeds in deconstructing his bias and entitlement and crosses the line he has drawn in the sand between them. When Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first," some believe he is implying that the time is not right. He's not necessarily saying no. He is saying, "Not yet." Jesus seems to be suggesting that others may be fed in time, but for now, his mission is to feed the children of Israel. But this desperate mother is not leaving without her blessing. She has learned about Jesus, about his power, about his compassion, about his ability to make the impossible possible. She refused to believe that a loving and gracious God would not want all people to be filled, all people to be healed. So, this Jesus, who is not known for losing verbal contests, yields to her with these words, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." He allows himself to be humbled and transformed. Barbara Brown Taylor describes the transformation in this way. You can almost hear the huge wheel of history turning as Jesus comes to a new understanding of who he is and what he has been called to do. The woman's faith and persistence teach Jesus that his mission is much bigger than he had imagined. And he opened his eyes to the fact that Jesus' love and mercy transcends all boundaries. Some of us draw lines between ourselves and those we consider as other. We sometimes place limits on what we can do and whom we can help. We are fearful of others who are not quite like us, never taking time to learn our neighbour's story. We make unconscious judgments each day about who deserves our help, our kindness, our attention, and even God's favour. It is easy for us to grow complacent about how we treat the stranger and those who are different from us. The good news is that Jesus worked through his complacency and saw God's presence in this outsider. There is no doubt that Mark sees confrontation with the Syrophoenician woman as a pivotal moment. He records that when Jesus leaves her after granting her request, he doesn't return home to his own people. He goes immediately to the Decapolis, a network of 10 Greek cities, where he heals a deaf man with a speech impediment. Then Jesus feeds 4,000 Gentiles and has leftovers. This mother's persistence benefited more than just her daughter. She was instrumental in, if you like, jump-starting Jesus' ministry to all people. 1 Elizabeth Johnson reminds us that whatever we were before, whatever people said we were, or we believed ourselves to be, we are now the children of God. If we identify with the Syrophoenician woman begging for crumbs, we are reminded that Jesus does not have any of us hungry, sick and tired. Jesus claims us all as God's beloved children, children from every tribe and language and nation. Even crumbs from the table prove to be enough for our healing and salvation. But Jesus gives more than enough. He provides an abundant, life-giving feast for all. That, my friends, is the good news. As we journey through life, may we be aware of the Syrophoenician woman who exist within and outside our communities. May we approach Jesus on their behalf and actively seek ways to bring about the well-being of those in need. May we strive to be Christ's hands and feet in this world. providing crumbs for healing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, we give thanks for the grace that always exceeds what we can hope or ask for. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for those being ordained priest later today. The Reverend Rodney Blair for the curacy of Shankill Lurgan. The Reverend Andrew Hay for the curacy of St. Finian's Craiga. The Reverend Anna Williams for the curacy of C. Patrick Banbridge. We pray for James Cunningham, who will be ordained deacon next Sunday for ordained local ministry for the Ulster Hospital chaplaincy. We pray for the Reverend Colin Taylor, rector of our neighbouring parishes of Dromara and Garvahy, and for his wife Eleanor as they move into retirement in Belfast. We pray for this group of parishes and for those recently confirmed, Rhys Ewing, Alana Giandani, Joshua McKeown, Emily O'Neill, and Zara Salters from Anna Hilt. Charlotte Moore, Mark Stanford, Sarah Whiteman, and Jenny Whiteman in Mara Hamlet. As we are fed by word and sacrament, make us strong in your service. Guide us and direct us in the preparations we will be making to safely return to parochial activities in our church buildings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, we pray for our leaders, whose decisions and policies have the potential to impact the lives of millions of people around the world. People who they may never meet, know, or be aware of, but are your sons and daughters. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State Brandon Lewis and the government, the First Minister Paul Given, Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill and the Executive, also President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Taoiseach de Leo Varadkar and the government in the Republic. We pray that your Spirit will inspire the hearts and heads of our leaders and those who hold positions of responsibility in Afghanistan, Yemen, Iran, Myanmar and the Horn of Africa, that they might hear the voices of the impoverished, the oppressed and the vulnerable. Help them to see the impact of their actions and the potential to release healing and hope through just policies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, show us the way to relieve the needs that lie close to us. Shield our families from the assaults and fear of coronavirus and its variants. We pray for those who are living in fear. Fear of illness, fear for loved ones, fear of others' reaction to them. If we are ill, strengthen us. If we are tired, fortify our spirits. Help us in our life together to be a healing influence in our neighbourhood and in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, may the compassion of Christ still prevail to heal the sick and feed the hungry through the divine love that never fails. Give skill, sympathy and resilience to all who are caring for the sick and your wisdom in distributing vaccine. May discoveries in the field of medicine be truly shared between rich and poor. Inspire those who as yet to take up the opportunity of vaccination to consider the possible benefits of doing so. We pray for all who are bereaved and grant them the assurance of your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant refreshment, light and peace to all who no longer need the bread of this world. Receive them into their eternal home. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The hymn, Love is his word, love is his way.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you.
You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroyed our death.
Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Lord God, the source of truth and love, keep us faithful to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, united in prayer and the breaking of bread, and one in joy and simplicity of heart, in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God,
We thank you
for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
The hymn, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Peace."
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
We thank you for your presence with us this morning online, and trust that joining together in worship in this way has been of benefit to you. Today, of course, is the first Sunday in September. All schools will have now returned to classes following the summer holiday period. And we take this opportunity of wishing teachers and pupils well in their various activities over the coming school year. Sunday next, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, family service will be broadcast online from 10 o'clock. In-church family services will be held in Annahilt at 10 o'clock and in Mara Hamlet at 12 noon. The parish magazine has been posted. If you haven't received your copy yet, I expect you will either tomorrow or the next day. When you get to read it, you will notice that there is some information regarding the easing of restrictions. One significant easement is the fact that the social distance regulation in church has been reduced from 2 meters to 1. This will obviously give the scope and opportunity for an increased attendance of worshippers in church each Sunday. So if you have not yet returned to an in-church service in recent times, perhaps you'll take this opportunity of doing so. It is still necessary to notify in advance your intention of coming to church. So if I could please ask that you continue to let the church wardens know that you will be with us. Their contact details are on the parish website. Thank you.